From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin affirms President Joko Widodo could reshuffle his cabinet at any time. Indonesia included in World Intellectual Property Organization's list of top 10 developing countries for IP application. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin emphasized that President Joko Widodo could conduct a cabinet reshuffle at any time since it is the president's prerogative right. This was pointed out by Vice President Ma'ruf Amin in Jakarta on Friday, January the 6th, as quoted by Antara. He further said that based on the president's observation, he would conduct a reshuffle if he found his ministers did not perform well. All decision regarding reshuffle would lie in the president's hands. The Ministry of Law and Human Rights has stated Indonesia has been included in the World Intellectual Property Organization's list of top 10 developing countries with the highest number of intellectual property or IP applications. This achievement is the result of the hard work of all parties in increasing the number of applications for intellectual property in Indonesia. Acting Director General for IP at the Ministry, Razilu, pointed out in the statement released on Friday, as quoted by Antara. In addition, he also informed that Indonesia has succeeded in entering the list of the World Intellectual Property Organization's top 10 middle-income countries with the highest trademark registrations. Indonesian Ministry of Religious Affairs will urge the government of Saudi Arabia to increase the Hajj quota for Indonesia at the 2023 Hajj conference in early 2023. Minister of Religious Affairs Yakut Holil Komas, as quoted by Antara on Friday, January the 6th, departed for Saudi Arabia to attend preparation for the 2023 Hajj conference held by the government of Saudi Arabia. The Hajj conference will discuss Hajj preparation starting from the pilgrimage quota, hotels, to food or catering for Hajj pilgrims. Minister Yakut Komas expressed hope that Indonesia's proposal for increasing the quota will be fulfilled. Chief of the Presidential Staff Muldoko emphasized the need for the Indonesian Migrant Workers Protection Agency to strengthen its institutional regulations that can further ensure protection for migrant workers. He lauded the agency for its efforts in providing protection to migrant workers to Regulation No. 9/2020. Muldoko also remarked that although it sounds good and implements the mandate of Law No. 18/2017, the regulation needs to be strengthened to guarantee protection to Indonesian migrant workers more extensively. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Music. Iran says it has closed a Tehran-based French institute over sacrilegious cartoons of its supreme leader in a French satirical magazine. As reported by BBC.com on January the 6th, Charlie Hebdo's latest edition features caricatures mocking Ayatollah Ali Khamenei and fellow Shia Muslim clerics sent in by readers in support of the anti-government protests in Iran. Some of them are sexually explicit. Iran's foreign ministry said shutting the French Institute for Research in Iran was its first step in response. It threatened further action if France did not hold to account the perpetrators and sponsor of such instances of spreading hatred. An antibody drug conjugate, or ADC, called EBC-129, will be first made in Singapore to be approved to enter clinical trials by the United States Food and Drug Administration. As quoted by ChannelNewsAsia.com, today, ADCs are able to selectively target cancer cells across a range of solid tumors, killing them while sparing normal healthy cells. This is unlike conventional treatments such as chemotherapy, which is non-specific in its targeting of cancer cells and damages healthy cells in its process. The breakthrough could address a need of cancer patients who have exhausted standard therapies. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The first news comes from Denpasar, Bali. Head of the Bali Provincial Health Office, Inyoman Gede Anom, on Wednesday, January the 11th in Denpasar, said local provincial government has made an official application containing information about the practice of Balian, or traditional Balinese medicine, that has special abilities. An application called Situs Bali contains information about hospitals in Bali that serve legal traditional medicine and herbal medicines.
In this application, public can view data and location for Belian practices according to their individual needs. Anom said the Ministry of Health had given permission to issue licenses to practice, so he hoped the application belonging to the Bali provincial government could be completed with necessary data by 2023. The next news comes from Ogan Komering Ulu, South Sumatra. Ogan Komering Ulu Regency of South Sumatra Province has the largest ancient museum on the island of Sumatra, called Goa Harimau or Tiger Cave Museum, located in Padang Bindu Village, Semidang Aji District. Acting Regent of Ogan Komering Ulu, Teddy Melwansyah, on Tuesday, January the 10th, in Batu Raja said, the museum houses prehistoric relics, including ancient prehistoric human skeletons aged 3,000 years and 15,000 years from two races, namely Neo-Mongolid to Authoro-Manilisa, which tells the journey of early to modern humans. The next news comes from Yogyakarta. Director General of Hindu Community Guidance at the Ministry of Religion, Inengah Duwija, said on Wednesday, January 11th, that Hindus from Indonesia and the world can worship regularly at Prambanan Temple following the issuance of guidelines and memorandum of understanding of the use of Prambanan Temple in Central Jawa. The Memorandum of Understanding was signed by Minister of Education, Culture, Research and Technology, Minister of Religion, Minister of State-Owned Enterprises, Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Governor of the Special Region of Yogyakarta, and Governor of Central Jawa in 2022. According to Nengah, there were 14 Hindu religious activities that had been stipulated can be held at Prambanan Temple in 2022 until 2026. They include Sivaratri Holiday, National Nyepi Holiday, Galungan and Kuningan Holiday, Saraswati Holiday, two national and international Hindu seminars or conference and Sabha. That was news from across Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on January 14, 1907 about earthquake in Kingston, Jamaica. An earthquake with a magnitude of 6.2 rocked the island capital of Jamaica, Kingston, on January 14, 1907. The earthquake resulted in the death of around 1,000 people and left about 10,000 people homeless and material damage. Not long after the earthquake, a tsunami was reported on the north coast of Jamaica with a wave height of about 2 meters. This disaster became one of the deadliest earthquakes in the world recorded in history. Now we move to January 14, 1953, when Josep Broz Tito was sworn in as the first president of the Socialist Federal Republic of Yugoslavia. Josip Broz Tito was a Yugoslav communist revolutionary and statesman who held various positions since 1943. He was sworn in as president of Yugoslavia on January 14, 1953 and held that position until his death, May 4, 1980. Even though during his leadership Tito was criticized as an authoritarian, some historians consider him a wise dictator. Tito is a well-known public figure in Yugoslavia and the world. He's also considered a unifying figure who succeeded in maintaining the integrity of the Yugoslav Federation through various domestic policies. He began to receive more attention from the world when he became a pioneer of the non-aligned movement, with Sukarno from Indonesia, Jawaharlal Nehru from India, and Gamal Abdel Nasser from Egypt. The last event was on January 14, 2016 when the terror bomb happened in Jakarta. On January 14, 2016, there was an incident of terror bomb and shooting in the area around Plaza Sarinah, Jalan MH Tamrin Street, Central Jakarta. The explosion occurred in two places, namely the parking area of the Cakrawala Tower building to the north of Sarinah and a police post in the front of the building. Four attackers and four civilians were killed and 24 others injured as a result of the attack. Seven people were involved as perpetrators of the attack, and the ISIS organization claimed responsibility as the perpetrators of the attack. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Hujan kini telah berhenti dan diiringi sinar mentari. Dingin juga tiada lagi, hangat terasa di sanubari.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on President Joko Widodo bans bauxite exports. Ministry of Industry confident smelters in Indonesia are ready for production. Head of Standardization and Industrial Services Policy Agency of the Ministry of Industry, Dodi Rahadi, on Thursday responded to the ban on the export of bauxite ore. He dismissed that smelters in the country have not been able to produce bauxite ore in order to gain added value. According to him, Indonesia is ready to process its own raw materials into alumina and aluminium. Dodi explained, Indonesia's state-owned aluminium company Inalum, or PT Indonesia Asahan Aluminium, has a smelter with a capacity of 290,000 tons in Asahan and will add even more. Then, alumina in Kalimantan also has a smelter and will increase its capacity. Meanwhile, President Joko Widodo officially announced a ban on bauxite ore exports starting in June 2023. He said this ban would be implemented simultaneously with efforts to encourage the domestic bauxite processing and refining industry. The ban on bauxite ore exports was announced by the president 2 years after imposing a ban on nickel ore exports on January 1, 2020. The president claimed that this policy had increased the value of nickel exports. Initially, it was $1.1 million at the end of 2014. Later, it jumped to $20.9 million in 2021, an increase of 19 times. He estimates that by the end of this year, nickel exports will reach more than $30 billion. The president emphasized that if the products are produced further downstream, the added value that will be absorbed domestically will be extraordinary. Bauxite ore, he said, could be developed for a number of industries such as automotive and construction. Meanwhile, Gajah Mada University Energy Economics Observer Fahmi Radi assesses that downstream bauxite will face various challenges. One of them is the matter of smelter capacity, which is still very limited. However, according to him, the bauxite export ban will force bauxite entrepreneurs to build smelters. Both are carried out by each company as well as by a consortium of companies and joint ventures with smelter investors. Because of this, Fahmi suggested that the government should provide fiscal incentives in the form of tax holidays, tax allowances, and import tax exemption for smelter equipment. On the other hand, Fahmi said the ban on bauxite exports in the short term would reduce export revenues by up to 21 trillion rupiahs per year. But in the long run, as the added value of downstream products and bauxite derivative products increases, Indonesia's revenue could increase up to 62 trillion rupiahs per year. That was My Indonesia Today.
We'll be right back. dan ku bawa dalam mimpi-mimpi rinduku ini, cintaku ini, kasih. Oh
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Suat Waterfall, Bali. The beauty of Bali never ends. It also keeps on spoiling tourists with some kinds of new tourism destinations that make holidays even more unforgettable. One of them is Suat Waterfall, which is located in North Gianyar, exactly at the river flow Melahange, Suat Village, Gianyar Sub-District, Gianyar Regency, Bali. Its location is between the tourism attraction route to Tampak Siring, which can be reached in about 1 hour if you depart from Denpasar. Whereas if you are from Kuta, it takes about 1.5 hours. Listener, the road access to the location of Suat Waterfall is quite adequate with very beautiful natural scenery. Along the way, you will pass through rice fields and forests with beautiful big trees, and thus the trip will be more enjoyable. Its hidden location is its own attraction to enjoy an exciting tour. Listener, the entrance gate to this tourism attraction is a gate made to resemble a turtle with the word Suat Waterfall above its head. A few steps after the gate, visitors will immediately hear the gurgling sound of a waterfall. Apart from the entrance gate, it turns out that turtle carvings are also on the rocks near the waterfall pool, which you can climb to obtain good spots when you take photos. Related to the turtle relief in the waterfall area, allegedly in the past Suat village, it used to have many freshwater turtles. But now, it is not found anymore. Therefore, turtles are an icon at the Suat waterfall. Listener, the Suat waterfall is 15 meters high with such an exotic natural atmosphere. Meanwhile, at the bottom of the waterfall, there is a bathing pool which is quite wide with tempting freshness. Even for you who cannot swim, you are able to still play in the water safely by using the float provided by the management. Nature tourism destination Suat Waterfall is open every day from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. Central Indonesian time, with an entrance ticket ₹15,000 for adults and ₹10,000 for children. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic.
Bahagianya hatiku saat ku duduk berdua denganmu, berjalan bersamamu, menarilah denganku. Namun bila hari ini adalah yang terakhir, namun ku tetap bahagia. Selalu kusyukuri, begitulah adanya. Namun bila kau ingin sendiri, cepat-cepatlah sampaikan kepadaku agar ku tak berharap dan buat kau bersedih. Kau temani diriku.
cepatlah sampaikan kepadaku agar ku tak berharap dan buat kau bersedih bila nanti saatnya telah tiba. Istriku.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOI listener, it seems that the capability of the Indonesian military forces cannot be underestimated. Based on the 2023 World Military Strength Index released by the Global Firepower GFP, Indonesia is ranked 13, up 2 levels compared to last year's position of 15. Indonesia and several other countries managed to bring down Egypt from 12th to 14th position and Iran from 14th to 17th position. In addition, Indonesia should be proud because the country's military strength is still ranked first in Southeast Asia. Global Firepower itself is an organization that focuses on managing databases and providing information about the military strength of various countries around the world. GFP compiles world military rankings every year using a specific methodology. Since 2006, Global Firepower has provided data and rankings of modern military forces for 145 countries around the world. The title of the strongest military in the world this year is still held by the superpower, the United States, followed by Russia, China, and India. These four countries have never been out of the top four or exchanged places for 5 consecutive years. While the 5th position is occupied by the United Kingdom, replacing Japan, which has dropped to 8th place. The Global Firepower website ranks the military strength of 145 countries using more than 60 individual factors to determine the power index score. The perfect power index score is 0.000. However, that is almost impossible to achieve. Therefore, the smaller the number, the stronger a country's conventional military combat capability. The score of Indonesia itself is 0.221. There are more than 60 individual factors that serve as an assessment to compare military strength around the world. All of them are divided into several categories. First, the workforce. Second, the equipment. Then the third, financial. Fourth, logistics. Fifth, natural resources. And finally, geographical factors. According to GFP records, Indonesia's military strength has increased in rank thanks to the support of its financial strength index, where the purchasing power parity value is included in the top 10 world rankings. Which occupy the 7th position out of 145 countries. In addition, Indonesia is also the 3rd largest new stone producing country in the world. Coal is considered as a very important and crucial energy resource for a country. Meanwhile, in terms of total population, Indonesia is in the fourth largest military population in the world after China, India, and America. Well, listener, that was Miss Eleni from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
We'll be right back.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hi VOI listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents you Pijaraya, a song sung by the music group Sugi Bornean featuring Vivin. The song Pijaraya, which was released on May 1st, 2022, is the song of a band from Semarang Central Java, namely Sugi Bornean. The song Pijaraya sounds so relaxing and has a beautiful and deep meaning. This song is about when every time you get a problem, then deal with it calmly. Thus, these problems can be passed and replaced with happiness. Alright listener, here is Sugi Bornean featuring Vivin with the song Pijaraya.
Yakinku akan
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.